Today's Shiur Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Gimel. We will begin on Daf Ayin Beis, Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. Hamoylech Chavil Mamakam Mamakam. To somebody who has merchandise to sell, and in the location where he lives, that merchandise sells for a cheap price. So he wants to take the merchandise to a place where he could get more money for it. Matzah Chaveroi. And now he meets someone else who tells him, Vamalai, Tanaili, allow me to carry the merchandise to that more expensive location. Vani Elcha, and I will pay you Kederach Shaman Lecha Baisumakim, as much as you could get for this merchandise in the more expensive place. And why is this person willing to take on this responsibility? Because he is willing to take this on so that when he sells this object in the more expensive price, in the more expensive place, he will be able to take that money that he realizes for that sale and use it for his own business purposes till he brings the money back at the predetermined time to the original location where the seller lives. And the reason this is acceptable, the reason such a situation is acceptable, the reason that's a situation which should not be acceptable actually, is because we have a situation of agonator. We have a situation where he's getting benefit, where I, the person who am laying out the money, I'm getting benefit because I'm willing to wait for my money, which we've explained as ribis. The Rishonim explained, they were certainly now referring here to a situation of ribis daraisa, because it's not a predetermined rate, nor is it a loan. It's more of a business situation. But it is a situation of agonata. There are Rishonim that also suggest that if it were a situation where the person who's willing to take this merchandise from me and sell it in the more expensive place was not going to get any benefit from it, that means I'll take my merchandise and sell it in the more expensive place, and then bring it right back to me, says the Torah, so that is no agonator. He's not benefiting anything from this money, and that would be certainly mutter. Here the issue, as Rishonim explained, is because the person who's selling the item is going to have benefit because he's going to be able to use that money that he realizes it. So says the Braisa, if it's Brishus Meicher, if I, the seller, I'm responsible for it, mutter. I remain responsible until it's sold. So then he didn't get it until it's actually sold. And then when it's sold, I'm giving it to him as a loan. And I'm not getting any benefit from that. And therefore it's mutter. But if it already becomes his responsibility from the moment I give it over to him, that would be usur, because he's getting benefit for carrying the item and selling it in the more expensive place that he should be able to use that money. So Tosfos says, not only would he have to take responsibility until it arrives at the more expensive place, but furthermore, says Tosfos, if it's truly being considered like my salesman, I have to carry all of the expenses that come along with carrying it, just transporting it to this more expensive location. Otherwise, we've accomplished nothing. It seems that most Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, or many Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, and they say that although if I'm not paying for his transportation cost, it ought to be considered a situation of not a salesman, but a halva, and it should be usur. Say to Rishonim, the fact that he has the opportunity of doing business, and he could do more business because now he has my merchandise to sell, and that makes him into a bigger businessman, and we'll see this concept in the Gemara soon, certainly is equal to the value of the transportation cost, and therefore those Rishonim suggest that even though I, the seller, have to carry the responsibility until it's sold, I don't have to pay for the transportation cost. Furthermore, the Pesukim can point out that this Shaila comes up quite often, without even us realizing, or it could come up. Let's say somebody, we have two people living in Eretz Yisrael, and I ask my friend in Eretz Yisrael, who's going to Chutz Laaretz, to buy something for me in Chutz Laretz, and I give him money, and I tell him, you're allowed to use that money until you actually buy the item. So here I'm lending him money for the benefit of him bringing back that item for me from Chutz Laretz. And he's responsible for the money. So, and he could use the money. So Rabbi Yashiv says that based on this Gemara, that ought to be Asr. Says the Gemara, another situation. Hamayelich peiris memakom memakom. I'm taking fruit from where I live to another place. Matzah chaver, and somebody meets me, and he says, normally, I will take them to this more expensive area. And I'll give you fruit in that place. You're going to take it anyway there. I'll give you fruit. So, says the Braisa. So this should ought to be a situation, explained the Rishonim, of saw besaw, which we've discussed, and we're actually going to learn the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hay, that the Mishnah teaches us, im yesh lo ba'ois ha'makom mutar, if the person who's selling me the item already has that item in his possession, then it's mutar. Vim lav, but if he doesn't have the item in his possession, it's asur. That's how most Mefarshim explain the Gemara. However, there is a machloikas ha'achroinim. Because as we're going to learn, as I said on Daf Ayin Hay, when we learn the Gemara of Sabasah, the Gemara says a very big cool in Sabasah. Now let's say I'm buying a forward contract. Let's say there's a situation of Sabasah where I lend you 100 pounds of flour. Again, as we'll learn, it doesn't refer to the situation, just neighbors. We're talking in a business setting. As long as you have, says the Gemara, some flour, you don't have to have as much flour as I lent you, the issue of Sabasah doesn't apply. There are some mafarshim that say the same in our Gemara. If this is a situation of sabasah, so as long as you have some of that commodity, we have the heter of yeshloi, and we don't have the issue of sabasah. Others say that this is not really a situation of a forward contract. This is more of a situation of a chalipin, where I'm giving you something now in exchange for something that you're going to give me later. And therefore the regular heter of yeshloi doesn't apply. And the only time we could apply that heter is if you have exactly as much commodity as I'm giving you. That I'm giving you 100 pounds, and you have 100 pounds in that other area that you're going to give me in their place. Another din that he said, chamar, says the Braisa, chamar mal memokim ha-yoyker kemokim hazoil. This comes up, everybody wants such a situation. You're a salesman, and you and I live in this location. In the location where we live, different commodities are more expensive. And you tell me that if I give you money now in advance, you'll go to that area where you could buy this commodity cheaper, and you'll pick up that commodity on my behalf and give it to me at the cheaper price. Now this, l'chaira, should be a situation of ribbis. I'm getting a benefit that I'm getting this commodity at a cheaper price because I gave you money. And isn't that a situation of ribbis? Says the Mara, Hachamar Mal Makma Yoki Kimakma Zol Venachashim. There is no concern of ribbis. Ask the Gemara, why not? My Tama. So the Gemara gives two explanations. Rapapama Nichaluhu the Megalutara. The people who receive the money, when they come to this location, they want to be able to get credit. Now, who will a wholesaler give credit to? A wholesaler will give credit to somebody who's a good customer. That means if a customer shows up with a lot of money, and he's buying, and he's putting down a lot of money, and now he says, I want some more, or whatever merchandise he's buying, on credit. So if you put down a lot of money, you're the kind of person that somebody's going to want to do business with. So it's to the benefit of these people who are giving it to me at a cheap price. It's to their benefit that they're getting the money. Why? Because like that, they'll be able to get credit when they get to the other place because they're arriving with cash. That's Rapapa's explanation. Ravacha says a different shot. You come to this new location. You're the person that I gave the money to. And the person, and that's how it goes in business, has a price that he wants to get for the item that he's going to sell you. You tell him, I can't afford to pay that price. Because I already took orders in my hometown at a cheaper price. I can't buy it at this price. And that will, and the person trusts you. You obviously have a relationship. And therefore, that will cause you to be able to get a better price. So the fact that you got orders and got payment at a cheaper price helps you get a cheaper price in the future. And therefore, it's to your benefit, not to my benefit. Here, too, the Rishayim debate, how much responsibility do I, the person who's giving you the money, have to carry? Some Rishayim say that given the explanations the Gemara just gave, I have to carry no responsibility. Other Rishayim say that if I will carry absolutely no responsibility, then just because you get some benefit from coming with my cash doesn't help it obviate the concern of ribbis. And therefore, I have to take the responsibility that I have to accept this product, this order, no matter what. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, we just gave two reasons why it's to your benefit to get cash and offer it to me at a cheaper price if I'll give you cash. So what's the nafkamina? Ikbanayu tagra chadata. Let's say if you're a new salesperson. So if we take the first pshat, this way Rashi explains. If you're coming with cash, so cash is very powerful. So even if you have no experience with these wholesalers, the fact that you come with cash will give you the opportunity to get more merchandise on credit. But if pshat is, Ravach's pshat, that you're telling the supplier that you already took orders at a lower price, and that's why he should sell you the items at a lower price, since you're a new businessman, he doesn't know that, and therefore even though you come with cash and you come with this claim that you already took orders at a lower price, it wouldn't help you any. Says the Gemara, Besura Asli Arba Arba, and Sura, you could get four measures of produce for a zuz. B'kafri, B'chlokas Rishonim, how to explain B'kafri, some say Kafri is the name of a place, others say Kafri means the villages. The villages' prices were cheaper than in the big city, and there you could get it shita shita for six measures per zuz. Yov Rav Zuz L'chamri, Rav would give money to the truck drivers, the Kabbalay Untzadarcha, and here we see a proof to the Rishonim that the seller has to take responsibility. And in fact, the Mefarshim ask, how will the Rishonim that we just quoted that say that in such a situation, the person who lays out the money doesn't have to take any responsibility explain this? And they'll say that Rav was machmer, that he took upon himself that responsibility, but he doesn't really have to. The Shokum Menayu, and he then accepted the produce that were bought in the cheaper place that you get six measures per zuz, he paid five measures per zuz. Ask the Gemara, Manushach. If Rav doesn't subscribe to this heter that the Braisa just taught us, then he should have to pay four zuz. If he does subscribe, so why does he pay six, why does he pay five? He ought to pay, why does he get five measures per zuz? He ought to get six measures per zuz. And Vinishkal Shita, why doesn't he get six measures per zuz, which is the price that the truck driver paid? Answers the Gemara, Adam Chashav Shani. There's always a concept of an Adam Chashev having to go an extra mile, and here too he had to go an extra mile in accepting this responsibility. Ask the Gemara. Bar Minei Rav Asim Rav Yochanan, Mal Lasas B'Grutas Kein. We just spoke about this type of arrangement where I can lay out money and you could go to a place where you could get the item cheaper, and therefore I could get, and my laying out the money with different conditions that we've been learning, gives me the ability to get the item at the cheaper price without a question of ribbis, that my laying out the money and getting this benefit should not be considered ribbis. So the Gemara discussed that this is mutter by produce. Why would be the halacha by scrap metal? And the Rishayim explained, why should scrap metal be any different than anything else? So I saw a number of pshatim in the Rishayim why scrap metal should be treated differently. Some explain that scrap metal is very similar to actual cash. And we will never say this heter by cash. Scrap metal, since it's a metal, it's like cash, and we can't give the heter. Another pshat is, scrap metal by definition is scrap. It's not something that's always available. It's not always available by the same merchant. So we take all of the pshatim that we learned earlier, they don't apply by scrap metal. One pshat that the Gemara said is that you have a relationship with this supplier, and if you come with cash, he'll extend credit to you. That's something that there's a steady supply of. So you want to develop a relationship. Scrap metal, which there isn't a steady supply of, nobody's developing a relationship. Furthermore, the other pshat that Rav Acha gave, where Rav Acha said that you're going to tell your supplier that you already accepted orders at a lower price, and he's going to want to help you fulfill those orders. Again, that's on something that there's a steady supply of. Something that there isn't a steady supply of, there's no relationship, and he won't have that interest in worrying about the orders that you took. So therefore, the Gemara asked, Ma lasa b'gutas ken? Omli, bikasha b'shmol, lasa ken b'kli pishtan. Rav Shmuel wanted to use this heter by linen material, v'loi nich Rebbe. Rebbe says you can't apply it. And the ikadamri, which is, so if you can't do it by clay piston, which is more readily available than scrap metal, you certainly can't do it by scrap metal. And the ikadamri said that it was explicitly by linen material. Bikish, by scrap metal, I mean. Bikish Rebbe lasses b'gutas kein. Rebbe wanted to do this by scrap metal, v'loi nicha, Rebbe Shmuel b'rbyosi. Now we have another question. Paradisa. Paradisa is the following situation, where you have a vineyard and you have grapes, and I agree to buy the wine that's going to produce from this grape before the grapes were harvested. And the question is it mutter or not? So ask Tosfos. We learned the Gemara the other day, I think it was Daf Samach Dalet, that said as follows. That let's say I want to buy the luim. I want to buy large cucumbers. If you already have small cucumbers, it's considered yeshlai. So ask Tosfos, why aren't grapes to wine the same as small cucumbers to large cucumbers? And if the Gemara explicitly said that small cucumbers could be bought, it's considered yeshlai to be permit a forward contract, so should grapes be considered yeshlai. So I saw two answers in the Rishonim to this question. Some say a small cucumber and a large cucumber is really a cucumber. But grapes and wine is not one and the same. Others explain that the Gemara here, which is a very b'chiddush, when the Gemara speaks about Padesa, is that the grapes did not even blossom yet. Yes, if the grapes would have emerged, it would be a regular situation of a forward contract that we learned, Pais Gemara, that you could do a forward contract if Yeshloi. But here the grapes didn't even emerge, so it's not a situation of Yeshlai. So Rav Asur, Vishmul Shari. Rav said that such a situation is Asur, and Shmuel said it's Mutter. Rav Asur, why? Kivin L'kamish Shavit Fei. Now, it's nothing came out, or it's only grapes. Wine is more valuable than grapes. Nechzi Kaganatalei. So I'm laying out money to you at the beginning of the season, and for that, I'm going to get the benefit that I'm going to get the wine at a cheaper price, which is Aganot. Shmuel Shari, Kivin the Havit by Tiyua. I'm taking a risk, Shmuel says. Because I'm contracting for the wine that's going to be produced from this vineyard. And let's say all the wine, all the grapes from this vineyard don't come out well, don't come out good, and then you won't have good wine. So I'm still stuck. So since I'm taking a risk, it's not considered like a business, it's not considered like a halvah, it's considered like an investment, lo mechzika agenetalei. And therefore, says Amrav Sim Bachia, there are times where it's so obvious that I'm taking a risk, and therefore it's a pure business investment, which Ribbis, of course, doesn't prohibit business investments. Therefore, Moide Rabbi Turi, that let's say the way they harvest grapes in this location is that they have oxen going between the trees, and the oxen can easily damage the trees. The nafesh p'stayu, that's very possible that these grapes should get ruined. So we have a real situation of a possible loss on my investment, and it will not be considered usur, it will be considered a real investment that it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Am l'shmul lahani d'shab shishabasa. Shmuel would say to those people who own property. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. Typically, and we have this constantly throughout the Gemara, if somebody owned property, the way he would have the property worked on was in a chakiris, relationship. Chakiris is what's known as a sharecropper, that they made up that the owner of the property would get a certain percentage, or he'd get a certain set amount of the yield of that property. Now, sometimes the sharecroppers were so poor that they didn't have money to buy seeds to plant the field. So on top of getting into this relationship with me, the owner of the field, that I'm going to get a certain percentage, he had to borrow money from me, or he had to borrow seeds from me. So Shmuel would say, now, when it comes to the end of the season, that I'm going to get my percentage, plus get back the seeds, or the value of the seeds, that I lent to the sharecropper, it looks like ribbis. So how do we avoid that? The people who, besides owning the property, would lend the seeds or the value of the seeds to the sharecropper, besides being the landlord here, do some actual work on this field. So you should have a share in the actual property. Because if you won't do that, it looked like a hava that you're lending him the seeds, and you're getting in return the seeds plus a share for us. Says the Gemara further. What happened was that they used to have people who were watchmen of the fields. Now, typically, the watchmen of the field would watch the field until Nisan, and then Nisan, they would get their field. They would get their salary. Rava wanted to extend the amount of time that they should watch the field. Not just to Nisan, they should watch it till Iyar. But now it looks like ribbis, that they're giving him more for laying out the property. Hafuch b'beidira, so he told them, you do some work on the field. If you're still working on the field, you're not entitled to your wage, because as we learned, you're not entitled to your wage until when you finish your job. And now, I'll give you more. And now I'll be able to give you more because you worked longer. And I'm giving you an extra gift. So the Mefarshim say that this is a very difficult Gemara to understand. The Rishonim try to understand the Gemara. If the heter of the Gemara is that Rava extended their term of employment and they're not entitled to get paid until their term is up, so then that's when the term is up. Why does the Gemara have to add this concept of a Zuli Demaz de Gabaychu, that I'm also going to give you a bonus? So the Mefarshim answer, the Rishonim explained the Gemara, we'll learn it to the simplest pshat. Yes, Rav extended their term, and that's why they're not owed the money till the end of the term. And Rav could give them extra. But even if he extended their term, and they should get extra because they work more than anybody else, they're only entitled to that rate. Rav gave them even more than that. So how could he give them more than that? So we had to add this concept that he was giving them a bonus. And we'll talk more about giving a lender a bonus later on Amud Beis. This Gemara actually is a proof against a very interesting Shitas Rishonim. There's a Rishon called Rabbi Elazar Metula, who says a very interesting Kula. He says as follows, although we've been learning the Halachas of Ribbis, he says, let's say I owe you salary today, and I don't pay you your salary the day I owe you the salary. Says Rabbi Elazar Metula, I could pay you for every day that I withhold your salary, they didn't pay you your salary, I could pay interest on it. Even though it's ribbis. So the Chasam Sofer explains the Rabbi Elazar Metula Shita, because the Torah, when it speaks about ribbis, says, I'm not allowed to take advantage that if you borrow money from me to take interest, because it's like we learned and will learn, it's impossible to live with having this interest responsibility. However, regarding salary, the pasuk uses ke'elav noiseis nafshay. A worker depends on a salary, and therefore giving you extra because I didn't give you your salary in a timely fashion is mutter. Ask the Bach, isn't this Gemara Raya against Rabbi Elazar Metula? Because here Rava wanted to pay the workers later than Nisan, and he had to come up with a whole way, a whole method of doing it. If delaying salary, you're entitled to penalty, why did he have to come up with any new methods? So it's a raya that Rabbi Elazar Metula is wrong, which we talk about paskin like Rabbi Elazar Metula. The Bach tries to defend Rabbi Elazar Metula, and he says a very interesting pshat. He says as follows, even Rabbi Elazar Metula, who holds that if I don't pay a worker in a timely fashion, for every day that I delay in paying him, I could be responsible to pay interest, that's only if we didn't turn that wage into a halva. But let's say the law turns every wage that's been delayed into a loan, then the din of ribis will apply even according to Rabbi Elazar Metula. In this locale, as soon as a wage was delayed in paying, it turned into a halva, and that's why Rava had to come up with this method. Says the Gemara. Amalei, just to finish this Gemara, Amalei Rabbanu L'Rava, Ka'ocha Ma'aribis, the Kula Alma Shokli Arba, everybody pays 4 zuz as their salary, Umasakla Risa B'Nissen, and have the Risa finish their job in Nissen. Man, not the Lord of Year, you are awaiting Taliyah, the Shokli Shita, and you're paying more. Amalu, Atavit Nishlekadin, you're the one that are acting improperly. Aral Ars Mishtabit, the worker has to stay on the field. Iata Masakan B'Nissen, by telling the workers that their time is up in this end, mafsidlo bekama, they're going to get less wage, or they're going to get more inferior produce. And no, in the tana lara ear, I wait until the trapper time when the wage should be due, which is ear, on vachon bekama, and the workers will get paid more. Says the Gemara, Ramari Baruchel, and we have Ramari Baruchel many times in Shas, as the Rishonim explain. We have the Gemara mentions it a number of times, that the Bansei de Shmuel, the daughters of Shmuel, were kidnapped. And while they were kidnapped, one of the daughters of Shmuel, whose name was Rachel, was violated by one of the kidnappers, whose name was Isser. And she conceived Remori. Then, Isser ultimately was Megayer and married Rachel. But since Remori was conceived Shloi B'Kedusha, when his father was still a guy, it was only that it was Leidasa, he was born, his father was already converted. So they want to give him the name of Remori, the son of that Isser. They called him on his mother's name. Remori Baruchel, Mashkalei Ahu Nochri Beise. What happened here was, the Remori Baruchel, a guy owed him money. And the guy put up his house as collateral. Hadazavna L'Rava. Then the guy sold that property to Rava. Sold that house to Rava. So Mata Trace Yachishata. So Remori waited for 12 months. And then after 12 months were up, Shokal Agabese, he took the rent, Amtalela Rava, and gave it to Rava. Even though, as we learned, just the Ramad Aleph, that Sechiris Enem Shalem Sal B'Saif, and in those days, typically, you rented in a house for a year, and you only owed the rent at the end of the year. Remori here paid the rent on a monthly basis for two reasons, the Rishonim suggests, Taisus. One explanation Taisus gives is that there shouldn't be any appearance of ribis, as the Gemara will explain, or maybe where they lived, rent was due on a monthly basis, like by us. Amrei, Haidloi Amtilema Agabese Hidna. So Rava wanted to understand, why all of a sudden now are you starting to pay me rent? So he asked him, why didn't you give me rent till now? So Rav Mari told him, Sta Meshkan Teshata. As we learned earlier in Daf Samaches, the normal period of a mashkin is a year. The first year, the loiva cannot force the malva off the property. Iboy nochri lesalki, even if the guy wanted to pay off the loan and asked me to leave the property, he couldn't do it. So I don't owe rent for the first year. However, now that the first year is up, hashta lishko mar agabese, now you should take the rent. Because now, you could pay me up at any time, and if I end up living on this property for free, so I'm getting ribis, that I'm getting back my loan and the rent. And therefore, I don't want to have any appearance of ribis, and I'm paying you the rent up front, and now you pay me up, and I'll leave. Amalei, so Rava said, if I would have known that this house that I bought from the guy, says Rava, was put up as collateral to you, I would have never bought it. Why? The Rishonim explained, because there's a concept of Ani Mechapech B'Charora. And Ani Mechapech B'Charora says that if you're in the middle of trying to buy a piece of property or do a business transaction, I shouldn't interfere. So Rava said to him since you already had this property as a security, you had first rights to this property, I would have never bought it. Asked Rishonim. But in the previous Gemaras, we also learned this concept of Bar Metzro. So why was Rava only concerned about Oni Amach B'Kararo? Why wasn't Rava concerned about Metzro? That we said last week that a Malva that has a Mashkin is always considered Bar Metzro on the property that he has a Mashkin, and he has right of first refusal. So, and the Aloha we explained was so serious that if I'm Bar Metzro on a property and you buy it, I could force you through the Torah to leave that property. So why here couldn't I force you to leave that property? So the Rishonim give two answers. The Gel Aloch L'maisa. One is, the real owner of this property was a goy. There are no dinim about Metzra by a goy. Then there's another answer the Rishonim give, which we're going to quote the Mitzvah Shem on Daf Kuf Hei, the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says a very big chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam says that the din of Bar Metzra only applies to a property that you work on, a field, which means as follows. Why do we explain there's a din of Bar Metzra? Because the Torah uses the words V'asisa Hayoshev Atoif, and if I have a property here and you have a property right next to me, it's only right that I should be able to buy that property, all things being equal, because like that it's easier for me to work on the property that are right next to each other versus having one property here and another property who knows where. However, says Rabbeinu Tam, that's only by properties that you work on. On a house, and I'm not sure exactly what the halach is, we'll have to wait for Daf Kuf Hei, there's no dinner by mitzvah. That means if I own a house, and you're my next door neighbor, Rabbeinu Tam says the dinner by mitzvah doesn't apply. Here we weren't talking about a property, we're talking about a house, and the dinner by mitzvah don't apply. So Rav said, had I known, I would have never gotten a valve. If I would have known that this property you were holding on to as a security, as a mashkin, I would have never bought it. But now that I did buy it, and as we just explained, the sale is valid, I bought the house, so I'm the extension of a goy. And by the goyim, the halach is not like by the Jews, because there's no din of ribbis by a Jew, by a goy, and therefore, if I have a property from a goy, until the goy pays off the loan, the goy is not entitled to rent for that property, even though he could pay me off at any moment. And nami I will not pay you rent until I pay you off the debt. Even though by a Jew, as we learned, the halach is that if it's a mashkin, that the loiva could force the malva off any time, the malva does have to pay rent. And this Yosef uses this Gemara for a very interesting and important shaila la'aloch l'maisa. He discusses the following question. As we just said, and we learned, there's no din of ribbis between a Jew and a guy. So let's say there's a Jew who's a loiva and a guy who's a malva. And they enter into a loan agreement where the Jew agrees to pay interest, 100% fine. Now, we know that loans, that debt can be sold. So the guy who has a shtar that has ribbis on it, that a Jew has to pay him ribbis on a loan, sells that shtar to a Jew. So now, who owes money? The loiva is a Jew, and now the malva is a Jew also. So does the malva who bought that document allow to collect interest? So the Beis Yosef says that he's allowed to collect interest. Because when is there an din of ribbis? That means if a Jew is a malva and a Jew is a loiva, the Jew is not allowed to pay ribbis. Here, the debt wasn't incurred between two Jews. It was incurred between a Jew and a guy. And the second, and the Jew who buys it from the guy is only an extension, like Rava said, of the guy. And since the guy could collect ribbis, the Jew would be allowed to collect ribbis then also. Says the Gemara. Amle Rava Mabarnash L'Ravashi. So Rava Mabarnash said to Ravashi, Chazma Rabbonin, look at these Rabbonin, the Ka'achli Ravisa, that they benefit from ribbis. The Yav is Zuzay Chamra B'Tishrei. They pay for wine in Tishrei, where the wine isn't really yet wine. Or Mafkale, and they choose what they'll take, B'Tavis. So here too, the Rishonim immediately asked the question. Didn't we learn that a forward contract is mutter, as long as you have the item? So here, if they have the wine, why is this usur? It's Yeshlei. So Rishonim answer, if by chitim, if you have chitim in Tishrei, you're going to have chitim in Nisan. Naturally, usually nothing happens to chitim. Wine, as we're going to see in the Gemara, spoils easily. So there, I'm really getting something that I might not, I'm paying for something that this wine that I'm paying for now, this actual barrel may spoil. And you're going to have to supply me with another barrel. That should not be mutter. Amalei, inu name chamer kuyav, achal kuyavi. When they pay, interesting Gemara, when they pay in Tishrei, and there's a whole room, a whole warehouse full of barrels, mikar de chamer chamer de chala hala. Wine, from its inception, what's going to turn out to be good wine is wine from the first moment. And what's going to spoil and be vinegar is going to be vinegar from the first moment. So, in other words, when I paid you for the wine, not for the vinegar. We didn't know which barrel is going to be wine, which barrel is going to be vinegar. That's only Breira. And since we're dealing here with the Rabbanon, we can rely on retroactive designation. Therefore, say to Rishonim, that only could work if some of the barrels end up being good and some of the barrels end up being vinegar. But let's say all of the barrels turn out sour. So I can't say I bought something else because there's nothing else. Everything turned sour. Then the buyer would have to take a loss. Says the Gemara. Ravina Yavi Yoav Zuzul Ibnei Akkad Shavansa. Ravina would give money to the people of the city. The Shafchalei Tfeik Fisa. He would give them money up front, and for this, when he came to collect, he would get more than he contracted for. Also, Kameder Vashi, Omalei Mishari, if you give more than you contracted for, it should be ribis. Omalei In, Achulei Domachlibach, Demoichel. And this is a fantastic heter in ribis. Till now we've been discussing that if I come to you and I lent you money, and now you give me more, you give me a bonus, certainly ribis. So how here can the Gemara say, as long as you're fine with it and you voluntarily give me extra, you're meichel. And the Rishonim and the Achronim are very troubled with this Gemara. Because otherwise, if we know that ribis applies even if the Leiva gives it with his whole heart. He was saying, chuli de'achl de'gabach. So the Paiskim say that there are a number of specific conditions in this Gemara that make this Gemara different. One point they make is that this is a situation of mekach u'memkar. It wasn't a pure loan. In a situation of a loan, the loiva, as much as he does it voluntarily, can never offer me a bonus. He was really a mekach u'memkar. So we don't really have a ribis d'oraisa. Furthermore, he didn't tell me that he's giving me extra. He just gave me extra. So we have these two conditions. Number one, it's a mekach u'memkar. Number two, there was no discussion. He just did it on his own. It's mutter. Ask the Gemara. This property doesn't belong to them. Because how did they get this property? The property was land that was foreclosed on by the government because they didn't pay tax. So how could they give this? Why is the wine that grows from the grape and the wine that comes from the grape that comes from this property not considered gezel? All property is subject to government rule. It's under the category of Dina de Machus Dina, or Malka Oma, Man de Yav, Taxaleg Lara. And the government rule is that if you don't pay your taxes, and I pick up the property and pay the tax lien on it, the property becomes mine, and it's not considered Gezela. And from here we see the halacha is that if the government sells a piece of property because it was foreclosed on for non-payment of taxes, it's not considered Gezela in the person who buys it from the government. Amalahu. So he comment, hash to echeshchiva, had I passed away? No. Amalei Rav Papa Lerova. Rav Papa said to Rava, Chazem ma hani rabbonin, did you see these rabbonin? The Yavi zuze karga dinshi. Again, in those days they had karga. Karga was a head tax. And people who couldn't afford to pay the head tax would become slaves to the people who paid the head tax on their behalf. And they would work for them even more than they would treat them like slaves. Amu, so he said, had I passed away, I would have never had the opportunity to teach you this halacha. Rav Sheshes, Murukaya Dahani. Murukaya means that they are considered Avodim. But Tafsa, the Malka Monarch. Everybody is subject to the government's rules. Or Malka Omar, and the king says, Mandala Yov Karga, whoever doesn't pay his tax, Vishtabila Mandala Yov Targa, becomes the slave of the person who pays the tax, and as the Mefarshim explained, and he could do anything with him, and it's no question of over of ribis. Says the Gemara. Rav Sarum Achved Rava, have a tekfe insha de loimali, he would grab people that didn't act properly, umayluhu begurka de Rava, and they would be the person Rava would give a shear, and there would be a very large audience at that shear. So there was no way that he could get to the front of the Beis Medrash. So they would carry him in like some sort of a container. These people were the people that carried him. Amalei Rava Shabakovdus. Rava said that it's fine what's being done here. The Tanaina, Risa Sh'ein Noi Kishura. If you see that there's another Jew who doesn't act properly, Menayin Shat Rishoy L'Shtababoy, that you're allowed to make him work very hard, Tamaloyma La'olam Behem Tavoidu U'Bachaychem. Sometimes Achaychem, you can make work difficult. Yochal Fil Noi Kishura. Let's say you have an Eved Ivri who did act properly, but Nebuchadnezzar became an Eved Ivri, the din doesn't apply. Tamalayma, v'lechechem ne'yisrael ishbach aloi sirdba b'farach. So Chassam Sofer says a very bechiddush. We just said, v'lechechem ne'yisrael aloi sirdba b'farach. That means, if somebody has an Eved Ivri, he has to be very careful that he shouldn't overwork him. Says the Chassam Sofer, when is that din? Only by regular Eved Ivri. But let's say you have an Eved Ivri who chose, as the pasuk tells us in Parashas Mishpatim, Ahavti es Adoni es Ishti, and he wants to remain beyond the 6-year term, so he's a person that's not acting kishura, and that Eved Ivri, says the Chassam Sofer, you're allowed to overwork. The Klausenberger Rebbe uses this Gemara to explain a famous Medrash. The Medrash says that when Klal Yisrael came to the Yam, the Malachim, the Malachim Mitzrayim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alo lo'ev devar dezaru, v'alo lo'ev devar dezaru. The Jews are the same as the Goyim. And therefore, why should they be saved? So ask the Rebbe, just because they are as bad as the Goyim, so why should they not be saved? What does one have to do with the other? Explains the Klaus Magar Rebbe. What would the Malachim of Klai Yisrael saying? The Mitzrayim overworked the Jews, and since they overworked the Jews are entitled to their biza. The Jews are entitled to get paid for what the Mitzrayim did to them. Because they were overworked. Said the other one, Halola Oiv David Zara. Al Gemara says that if Yisrael is Lat Noi Kishura, if Yisrael doesn't act properly, you're allowed to overwork him. So your claim that the Mitzrayim stepped over the boundary doesn't apply. Halola Oiv David Zara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama, Hai man, I give you money with the request that you buy wine. And you didn't do what I asked you. And you didn't buy it. You have to reimburse me for the price of wine in this location. What does that mean? Some Rishonim say this was a place where wine was expensive, and you have to reimburse me at the expensive price of wine. Other Rishonim say it was a place that wine wasn't expensive, nor was wine cheap. It was a place where wine went for a normal rate, and you have to reimburse me at that rate. Omar Meimer, Amrita L'Shmaitza Kamed Rav Zidman Naharda, Omar, Ki Kamer Rav Chama, when did Rav Chama say this din, B'yayin Stam? I asked you to buy wine for me without specifying what type of wine. So now if you didn't fulfill your shlichus, you're going to be penalized. If I specify this wine, then you're not going to be held responsible. Loi, you won't be held responsible. Because mi yema de mezabman nele. Who says that you'll find that wine, that you should be considered negligent if you don't find it? As the Rashi explained, something we discussed already, this falls into the situation of an asmachta. I recognize that this you may not be able to fulfill, and asmachta like kanya, there isn't a full-fledged obligation. Even if I didn't specify which wine, if you don't fulfill your obligation, I can't have any client to you. My tama, because whenever I ask you to do a shlichus, it's an asmachta, v'asmachta loikanya. Ask the Gemara, Ulervashi, Maishna Mahadatnan, why is this different from what we learned? Im oiver, v'loi evid, if I hire you to do a job, and you didn't fulfill your job, asham v'metiva, you could obligate yourself that you have to pay me penalty. Why isn't it considered an asmachta? Answers the Gemara, hasam biyadai, there, it's completely in your hand to work on the field. And if you didn't fulfill your obligation, you get penalized. Hacha, even by wine, certainly when I specify the wine, but even if it's not a specific wine, it's not only in your hands. You have to be able to find somebody that will sell you wine, and that's why it remains under the situation of an asmachta. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains the Gemara that even by the situation where you undertake to do a job, and if you're not going to do it, you'll be penalized, it is truly a situation of an asmachta, because it falls into the category of ever. Whenever you don't expect that you're going to have to pay the penalty, we learned earlier, maybe an asmachta. But it's a special knas rabbanon that if it's completely in your hands to be able to do the job, and you didn't do the job, it's considered an asmachta. If we're discussing the issue of an asmachta, I'll just repeat an interesting shail that I saw Rav Zilberstein discusses regarding an asmachta. Comes up often. He says, let's say a Rebbe wants to get his Talmidim interested in learning, and he says, I'll ask you a difficult question, I'll ask a question, and whoever comes back with the answer will get a prize. So he says, nowadays we live in a world of computers, so you can find the answer to any question on the internet. So the question is, so the Talmud didn't do any of his own research. He just went into the internet and got the answer. And now he comes with the answer and he wants the prize. Is the Rebbe obligated to give the prize? So he says, that's certainly a situation of an asmachta. The Rebbe asked the question because he wanted the Talmud to spend time researching and learning. He never meant that the Talmud should get the answer instantaneously. And that's in the situation, that falls under the category of asmachta, which we've been learning, asmachta like Kanya.